says whenever a person performs a mitzvah, he has to recite a bracha over l'asiyasa. So we assume that when a person sits in the sukkah, he has to say a bracha l'ishav asukkah. The Gemara says though, in the end of sukkah, he says a bracha l'ishav asukkah. The Gemara discusses which bracha you say first. Shachyana first or l'ishav asukkah. But it's clear in the Gemara, there is a bracha l'ishav asukkah. So yesterday we spoke about the machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh, about the over l'asiyasa. Rambam says you should recite, unlike all year long, that you recite Kiddush in a sitting position. On Sukkot, you should recite the Kiddush in a standing position, so the bracha will be over l'asiyasa before he sits down. The Rosh disagrees and says that Leisha Basukah doesn't mean to sit, it means Lehis Sakev. Just a few words about the bracha Leisha Basukah means Lehis Sakev. So strictly speaking, if a person is going to sit in the Sukkah for a few hours, he's not going to eat any food at all, they should still say the bracha Leisha Basukah. He's sitting, according to the Rambam, he's sitting, and according to the Rosh, he's being misakeh. But she said the bracha leisha basukah. So we have a minig from the Maharam Rutmerg that you only say leisha basukah if you're eating bread. Why? Because the Mishnah says that achilas haroi is mutar chutz l'sukah, so you only say the bracha when you're mechuyev to do the activity in the sukkah. If you're going to have Cheerios, Cheerios is you're going to have Rice Krispies, that's not Tolan Sukkah. Remember, that's what Rabbi Tendler told us when he was doing his research in Colombia. I think I was a student there. He was doing his research in Colombia, so he had to eat there in the school. So he said, how do you eat Chutz L'Sukkah? So he ate Rice Krispies. It's not Tolan Sukkah. It's not Rabbi Chameshis Minidon. So the meaning is from the days of the Maharam Rutenberg by the Ashkenazim, that we follow Maharam Rutenberg, that only something that's ton sukkah do you recite a bracha. If the thing is not ton sukkah, so you don't say bracha. This is really problematic. What do you mean it's not ton sukkah? You're going to spend 4 hours. He's going to read, he's going to learn, he's going to write something, achalamayit. So why shouldn't he say a bracha leshem asukkah? So the Vilna Gaon didn't follow that minik. He said leshem asukkah. I mean, he was going to sit in sukkah for a long time. He said leshem asukkah at the beginning. But the minik is like that. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayei Adam. You have to realize that Chayyadam is considered like the Bible in Lithuania. Whatever he said, that was it. The Chayyadam, even though the Chayyadam was originally, he was not a rabbi, he was a businessman. Towards the end of his life, he was appointed a dayan in Vilna. But for most of his life, he was in business, he was not a dayan. So the Chayyadam writes the following Kiddush Bamed, and the Mishneh Berurah people and the Litvakas all follow this Chayyadam. He says, when do you say that you don't say a bracha leishe basuka unless you're eating bread? It means like this: you plan to sit in the sukkah for the next 5 hours, and you're going to eat a sandwich after 4 hours. You're going to start eating 4 hours. Instead of saying the bracha now, you save the bracha leishe basuka till 4 hours later when you'll be about to eat the bread. But if I'm going to visit someone in the sukkah, stay there for half an hour, and then I'm going to leave, I'm never going to eat any bread. I visit, they're going to give me some cookies, I'm going to have some coffee, and I'm going to talk, or whatever, and then I'm going to leave. So what do you mean, you're going to sit in sukkah for half an hour without saying Leisha Basukah? So then the Chayyadim says, there never was a minig not to say Leisha Basukah. The minig only wants to postpone the Leisha Basukah till you do the Achilas Keva of having the bread. So Litvakis, of people who follow Mishnah Berurah, usually follow that opinion. And most people do not have that practice. They only say Leisha Basukah if they're having an Achilas Keva that requires Al Pidin Sukkah, which means Pas Yesem Mikibetza. That's how the Gemara says. Pas Yesem Mikibetza is called Achilas Keva. A Kibetza or less is called Achilas Aroi, and strictly speaking, you don't require a Sukkah for that. So therefore, even if one would eat it in the Sukkah, you wouldn't recite the Bracha. That cake, that's... What if a person is having cake from the Chameshes Minidog and is having a lot of cake, more than a kibetza? So then they're different practices. So we're machma, you got to do it in the sukkah, but you don't say leisha basukah. Wine is a shayla. Some rishonim in the Mishnah Berurah quotes this whole tool. For many generations, the practice was that the husband would come home on Matzoyah to say, have dollar in the house, and drink the wine in the house, and then he'd go sit in the sukkah and learn and do something, whatever, eat malal malka or something like that. So the Mishnah Berurah changed, shook everybody up. He discovered that some Rishonim hold that Yayin is Tom Sukkah. So you can't drink the Havdalah wine in the house, you gotta drink the Havdalah wine in the Sukkah. Okay. We were supposed to be discussing Dalet Minim today. The Pasuk says Elokach Malchem Bayom Rishon Priya Etzadar, etc. The way it says in the Chumash, the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, the Dalaminim, is only on the first day. Elokach Malchem Bayom Rishon. On the first day of Sukkot, it's not the rest of the days. Then it ends off. Usmachtam Lefnei Hashem Latech Mishivas Yomim. You should do something in the Beis Hamikdash for 7 days. So what exactly are you doing that expresses your simcha? So the Sifra says on that pasuk, and that's what the Mishnah says, lulav nitol b'amikdash kol shiva. But the pasuk means to say that Netilas lulav all over the world is only b'yom rishon, the first day sukkos. And then the Beis Hamikdash is lulav nitol b'amikdash kol shiva all the 7 days. That's a din min haTorah. Yeah. What's the definition of and then Rabbi Yechem HaZakai after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash made a takana. The Gemara explains that he made 9 various takanas. Many of them had to do with the fact that the Beis Hamikdash was Charev. Some of them are unrelated to the Churban Beis Hamikdash. He was the chief rabbi during the period of the Churban Beis Sheni. Bechem Hatzakev is the one who went out to Vespasian when he was a general. He told him that he was just appointed the emperor and so on. The whole story in the Gemara in Gittin, Perkan is up. But Bechem Hatzakev made a takana after his best, made a takana after the Churban Beis Sheni, the Sheyehe Lulav Nitol Kol Shiva, Zechel HaMikdash, because if he won't make a takana, the whole mitzvah will be forgotten, that there's such a mitzvah of Lulav Nitol HaMikdash Kol Shiva. What exactly is the definition of Mikdash? And Mikdash means in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis, I think it's in Rosh Hashanah, I don't think it's in Sukkot. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis, he got it from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that Mikdash includes the whole Ir HaAtika, the whole old city, is included. Not only in Beis HaMikdash. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does not say one way or the other. It just goes Lulav Nitol HaMikdash. Mikdash means in the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Pirush HaMishnayis, he doesn't say this, but he's quoting it from the Talmud Yerushalmi that Mikdash includes the Holy Ir HaAtika. So that's a suffix in the Sefer Bikurei Yaakov. The Mishnah Berurah quotes on every page in Hilchos Dalaminim the Bikurei Yaakov. Bikurei Yaakov is the first Sefer that was written by Rabbi Yankov Vetlinger, the author of the Aruch Laner, the one who wrote the Tshuvas Binyan Sion. So he called it Bikurei Yaakov. This is his first Sefer. So the Bikurei Yaakov, it's his best Sefer too. Very good. So the Bikurei Yaakov is a running commentary on Shulchan Aruch, on the Dinam of Hilchas Sukkah. So the Bikurei Yaakov raises the question that maybe, according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah in HaTorah b'zman hazeh, little lulav kol shiva in the Ir HaAtika. Because the Rambam holds that Kedushas Yerushalayim is kitcha l'asi lovai. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is also kitcha l'asi lovai. But the Rambam holds that Kedushas Beis HaMikdash for sure is kitcha l'asi lovai. The Rabbi disagrees with the Rambam. The Rabbi thinks that Kedushas HaMikdash was batla. And the Rambam thinks that from the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the Ir HaAtika retained its kedusha, so that's what the Reishis Bikurim. That's what the Bikurei Yaakov raises a possibility that maybe you should put together these two Rambams that lulav nitol b'amikdash kol shiva min haTorah applies to the whole Ir HaAtika, and the Ir HaAtika b'zman hazeh still retains its kedusha. So the zechiyah min haTorah to shake lulav kol shiva. What's the difference? People are going to shake lulav anyway kol shiva, but they're rabbanim. The difference is, what if the fellow davened b'ayit v'gan, and he shook the lulav in the morning, then he goes to visit the kaisel in the afternoon of the same day. So on the level of the rice, he didn't do anything this morning. He only did his zechel hamikdash. When it comes to the Ir HaAtika, he doesn't have to go to the kaisel. When he enters into the Ir HaAtika, then according to this Bikurei Yaakov, he's mechuyav to shake lulav again. Yeah, but both points are questionable. The issue of kitcha l'asi lulav is questionable. According to the Rabbi, there's like kitcha l'asi lulav. So there is no kedusha Yerushalayim. As kedusha Sa'aretz, has kedusha Sa'aretz, but it didn't retain kedusha Yerushalayim after the Churban HaBayit. And then the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis is also questionable, because in the Mishnah Torah doesn't quote it. It's based on one opinion in Yerushalmi that the Holy Ir HaAtika is included. So that's the chiddush of the Bikurei Yaakov. He thinks that maybe we should shake the lulav kol shiva min haTorah. And the whole Ir HaAtika. Let's say there'll be another difference. Let's say a guy lives in the Ir HaAtika, so it's not a shayli daven shachris in some other in Bayit V'Gan, and now he comes to the Kosel Ma'arav in the afternoon. The shayli is the Yinit Shalachem, the rest of the days of Sukkot, because the Gemara comments on the pasuk Ulakachtem, has the connotation of lekicha tamo, like v'chsaf tom al mezuzah beisach v'sherecha means ksiva tamo, that you have to write a very nice ksav in the mezuzah. If you write a sloppy ksav, sometimes it puzzles. So ulekachtem means lekicha tamo. So what does it mean lekicha tamo? So the Gemara understands two things under this heading. One point is that the dalet minimum yakim zeh zeh. If you're missing one or more of the dalet minim, so you don't have a lekicha tamo. And number two, lekicha tamo, that it shouldn't be chaser. If you have an esrog that's chaser, an esrog, someone cut out a big chunk out of the esrog, someone cut out, broke off part of the lulav. So sometimes chaser will passel. So the Gemara says explicitly the chaser only passels on the first day of Sukkot, when the din of the tinos lulav is the raisin, and the rest of Sukkot chaser doesn't passel. The Gemara says there was one of the Amoraim who wanted to demonstrate to the students that chaser doesn't passel. See, after the first 2 days of Sukkot, he bit into his esrig and he made it chaser, and then he continued to say the bracha. If you cut an esrig in half, that's not called an esrig. That's the worse than chaser. But I mean, you basically have an esrig cut out a little bit, so that's an esrig and it's chaser.
Is that the
mark
for people saying that Srogin, that chaser, the pitmos, are lulav, that's any part of the
Dalet
Min is missing, it's not
kosher
for the first day?
Yeah, that's the din of chaser is only possible on the first day. It doesn't pasul the rest of the Sukkot. That's what the Gemara says. So many Rishonim assume that the reason why it doesn't pasul the rest of Sukkot is because the rest of Sukkot is only mid the Rabban and Zechel HaMikdash. So they didn't require all of the details of the first day. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that the Netilas Lulav Kol Shiva is their Isa, so it's a possibility. Poshim Pshat and Rashi and Tess like that, that you should say that the Chosu would passel all the 7 days of Sukkot. So that's a shadow. Let's say you have an Esrig or a Lulav that's Choser, and you're in the Ir Atikas, it could be that then it's Merat Torah. And then Chosu would passel Kol Shiva. This is a question. The Gemara said before, you learn that both dinim from the word Ulakachtem, Lekichatam. One din is that you need the Dalet Minimam Yakim Zezeh, and the other din is that Chosu passels, and Chosu only passels on the first day. Doesn't passel the rest of Sukkot. So what about Ma'akim Zezeh? Ma'akim Zezeh was only on the first day. They both learned that from the same phrase, Lekicha Tama. So on Masechah Sukkot, there's a Sefer HaMichtom. He basically quotes the Sefer HaMichtom once in a while. It was after the Second World War was over, so all the people from the Mir Yeshiva came to America. So one of them made that his life's career, to publish Kisvei Yad HaRishayim. So he published the Sefer HaMichtam, and he published many other Svarim. If you look in the bookcase where they have Rabbi David Lifshitz's Svarim, so there's one row that has around 15 Svarim in a row. That's by Moshe Yehuda Blau. He was from the Mir Yeshiva, and his customers were all the people from the Mir Yeshiva. Other people used the Svarim also. But his first customers were all the people who learned, all of his classmates. I learned to the 400 people who learned the Mir before the war. So he published the Sefer HaMichtam. So the Rishari quotes this line from the Michtam. Michtam ha, Michtam quotes his father, that Ma'akvim Zezeh is only on the first day. The rest of Sukkot is the Dalamina Manat Ma'akvim Zezeh. And that's clearly not the accepted opinion. So that's Taka question. How did we split between the Lekicha Tama? Why did we say that Ma'akvim Zezeh applies on all 7 days, but the Din of Chaser only applies on the first day? That's a question. It's not such an insurmountable kasha. It's a good question that has to be answered. Not so difficult to answer. Anyway, that's what we learn from Lokachtem. Then the Gemara learns out from the word Lochem. Lokachtem Lochem, Misha Lochem. That the Dalet Minim have to belong to you. And again, the Gemara says this is only on the first day and doesn't apply to the rest of the days of Sukkot. And Rashi and Taisa say because the rest of Sukkot is only Midir Abanon, you don't have to be medactic in all the details. But in Migdosh, the lulav nitnov by Migdash called Shiva, so then you need that it should be Shalachem all 7 days. So if you hold, like the Chiddush of the Bikuri Yankiv, that is Manazen, the Irat Tikav, one is obligated in Atar to shake lulav all 7 days, so then if you borrow someone else's Dalminin, you wouldn't be Yoitzin the Irat Tikav, it has to be Dafke Shalachem. Not all of Rishonim agree to that. The Ramban has in the Melchamas, and the Ritva and Sukkah quotes the Ramban. The Ritva usually follows in the school of thought of the Ramban, the basement Rosh Hashanah Ramban. So the Ramban and the Ritva have this idea that even if Lulav and Migdash Kol Shiva is their Isa, you still don't need Shalachem. And this is a fundamental question. What's the nature of the mitzvah of Lulav Nitol Ba Migdash Kol Shiva? Is it that the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav applies all over the world for one day and the Beis Hamikdash applies for 7 days? The mitzvah of Lulav? Or should I say no? It's a mitzvah of Esmachtem. The first day is a mitzvah of Lakachtem. And you only need Shalachem for the mitzvah of Lakachtem. Netilas Dalad Minim. The mitzvah called Shiva Bamikdash is Esmachtem. It's a mitzvah to celebrate, to be in a state of Simcha. How do you do Simcha? So the Tanaim say you do the Simcha with holding the Dalad Minim. So if you're going to have something, you're going to have an Esrog HaMurkav, you're going to have Hadasim that are not Mishuloshim, so that's not the Dalad Minim. But if you do have the Dalad Minim, the only thing is that it's not Shalachem, but that's not a din in the Cheftza of the Dalad Minim. Hodr is a din in the Cheftza. If it's not Hodr, then it'll pass all 7 days Bamigdosh. Rule of Nita Bamigdosh called Shiva, so you need Hodr, but Shalachem you wouldn't need. Why should I distinguish between Shalachem and Hodr? That Hodr is a din in defining the Chavtze. Shalachem is only a din in being Yotze the Mitzvah. So the Ramban says, of course it is, because the Pasuk says, pre Eitz Hodr. That's a description of the Esro. So he says, Hodr is a din in the Chavtze of the Minim. And even only says, pre Eitz Hodr by the Esro, but the Tanoim understand, based on a Hekish, that Hodr applies to Lulav as well. It applies to the Adasim and the Arabis. You need Hodr there too. So Hodr would pass a Kol Shiva because it's not the right Chavtze. But Shalachem is the right Chavtze. The only thing is, if it's not Shalachem, you can't be Yotze the Mitzvah. So the Kol Shiva is a different Mitzvah. So the Ramban holds Beferish like that. That even though in Migdash, Lulav, Nito, Kol Shiva is a Din Daraisa, but you don't need Shalachem all 7 days. But Rashi and Tosfos hold not. So Rashi and Tosfos hold that you need Shalachem all 7 days in Migdash because it's not a separate Mitzvah, it is the Mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. Netilas Lulav applies Kol Shiva. The Ramban holds not, it's a different Mitzvah. So mitzvah is machtem, not a mitzvah lokachtem. So how many conditions are there? You need lekicha tama or lokachtem that choser is pasul. Then it is you need shalachem. Then you need hodr. If it's not hodr, it pasuls. So here is a shaila. Let's say halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh. So you don't need shalachem kol shiva, and you don't need lekicha tama kol shiva. The gemara said beferish choser is kosher the rest of the days. What about hodr? Does Hodr pasul kol shiva or not? If you talk about kol shiva in the Mikdash, for sure Hodr pasul, even according to the Ramban. You know the Ramban says you don't need shalachem kol shiva in Mikdash, but Hodr he says you do need. But we're talking, what about chutz loretz? Netilas lulav is only by the Rabbanon, the rest of Eretz Yisrael. When netilas lulav kol shiva is only by the Rabbanon, did the institute Hodr, that Hodr applies kol shiva? That's a major machlokes, Rishonim had to read the Gemara. And the Shulchan Aruch Tzemachlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramban. Mechaber goes with the Shittas HaRambam, that just like Chosim is only Yom HaRishon, so Hodr is also only on the Yom HaRishon, and the Ramah Paskins like Rashi and Taisus, that Hodr is, if it's lacking Hodr, so Pasul's Kol Shiva. Take for example, the Mishnah says that if the Pitim is broken off, Nitla Pitmasa is Pasul. So that's a machlekes in Mishnah Brura. That's machlekes Zachrein. What's wrong if nitla ha-pitma, if the pitim is removed? That's why some people always prefer to buy an esrog that doesn't have a pitim. Why do you need an esrog with a pitim? And then you have to be nervous. The whole sukkah is going to fall down and the pitim is going to break up. So buy an esrog without a pitim. Nitla pitma only passes if it had a pitim and it fell off. If it grew without a pitim, so then it says a Shulchan Aruch, that's not a problem. So there's no psul. So here the Mishnah Brura quotes a machlekes Achreinim. If nitla ha-pitim, what's the psul? Is it only a psul because of chaser? So then the rest of the days of sukkah would be kasher. Or should I say it's worse than chaser? It had a pitim and it broke off, so that's a lack of hadar. So if it's a lack of hadar, then the Ramah would paskin for Ashkenazim that would pasul kol shiva. So there are some who are ma'mikra din, the Mishnah Brura says it's really kosher. The nitla ha-pitma is pasul because of chaser, and kol shiva chaser is okay. But he says there is a minority opinion that nitla ha-pitma is possible because of the lack of hadar, and hadar, the Ramah Paskins, does possible kol shiva. Niktam Rosho is a big machloikis in the Tanoim, in the Mishnah. Rab Tarfin, back and forth, what's the din? What does it mean, Niktam Rosho? I have hadasim or arovis, that's Niktam Rosho. So the Rishonim explain, the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rishonim, the Chabad quotes anything. Niktam Rosho doesn't mean that the leaves were, somebody snipped off the tip of the top leaves of the Hadassim and Arov. It's not, means that the wood, the wooden stem was Niktam Rosh on top. So that's a machlekes HaTanaim, whether it passels or not. I think the Ramam writes it does not passel, Rambam writes, we pass from like the Tana that Nikdam Rosho does not pass on. And that's the famous Ravid where he writes, Kfar Hafia, Ruach HaKodesh, Beveis Midrashenu, Zekam HaShanim. You hear Aloshim? We had Ruach HaKodesh in our base management already many years, and he knows based on Ruach HaKodesh that Nikdam Rosho is possible. So that's a question. So many claim that Ravid was a major key a man in the tradition of the Kabbalah. They say the Ravid had a son who was a major player in Kabbalah. So I said, what about the Ravid himself? So they say, here, he says to himself. And others say, Rav Soloveitchik say, Afira HaKadosh just means we were learning the Yegiya. We learned Bahasmada and we came up with this conclusion. He didn't think that it meant the Ruach HaKadosh, Ruach HaKadosh. Hey, Ruach HaKadosh, you're sitting in your line, yeah, Ruach HaKadosh. Okay, whatever. So that's in Shulchan Aruch, that's an issue. If you have a Nikdam Rosho and the Hadassim or the Aravis, and Machlokes Satanai, Machlokes Rishonim had a Pastin. So if you only have a Nikdam Rosho, means the tip on the top of the eighth of the Hadassim and Aravis was broken off. So that's a Shaylan Din, whether it's Kosher Apostle, so you shake without a Bracha. Such a case, you shake without a Bracha. The Gemara says that you should hold the lulav in your right hand and the esrog in your left hand, because the lulav has three quarters of the mitzvah. You have the lulav, hadassim, and the aravos, and the esrog only has one quarter of the mitzvah. So is this li'kuva, or is this just l'chatchila? Machlok v'sarishan, quoted by the Magen Avraham in the Mishnah Berurah. Why? The Gemara says, you really need nanuim. The mitzvah b'shlimus of dalad ninim is to Mid'agbei, Nofikbei. Once you pick it up, you go to, even if you didn't do Nanui. But there's a din, l'chatchila deraisa, that you're supposed to have Nanui. That's what the Rishonim point out based on Mishnayos. It's a l'chatchila deraisa. In mitzvahs, you have l'chatchila b'riyelu. We discussed from the Netziv, he had his tesis in the end of Maseches Nida, that l'chatchila b'riyelu, you have on the level of deraisa mitzvahs. In a matir, it doesn't make sense on the level of deraisa, it's only with the Rabban. But in mitzvahs, you have l'chatchila mitzvah b'shnei musas, like so. In the mitzvah shlo b'shlei musa, he writes it like that. So there is a din l'chatchila that you have to have nanuim. So the Gemara says, but if a person picked up the lulav and he didn't do the nanuim, but he was yotzei already. So how was it? The Gemara is talking about a certain din. How is it possible that a person picked up the dal minim and he wasn't yotzei yet? It's impossible. He was yotzei already automatically. So the Gemara says, b'she hafochai. What does that mean, b'she hafochai? So all of Yisharim learned Pshat. Afoch, he held it upside down. The din is that you have to hold the Dalad Minim Kederach Gedilos. That's a din that's learned out from the Mishkan. It says, Atzei Shitim Omdim, that the Mishkan consisted of crushim of boards of wood, wood growths from the ground. So the boards of wood had to be standing up in an erect position the same way they grew from the ground. You couldn't chop off a tree and make it into a board of wood and then put it upside down, and you couldn't put it sideways either. It had to be dafka. The way it grew from the ground, this is the way it grew, that's why you have to have the crush. So the Gemara learns that, Amamotzino, just like by the Karshe HaMishkan, it means Atzishita, you need Atzishita Momdim, Kederach Dilosam. So whenever you need some natural item that grew from the ground, like the Dalaminim, you have to hold it Kederach Dilosam. Yeah. What if I have an esrog from Australia? So in Australia, it grows the other way. So some achrayim came up with such an einfam. If you have an esrog from the other side of the globe, you have to hold the esrog with the pitim down. So we assume that that's a joke. Most of the achrayim rejected that iluyish einfam. So most of the rishonim say kesha hafachai. Hafachai means if you hold the dalaminim upside down, you're not yosef. So the Rabbeinu Chananel says on that gemara printed on the side of the Vilna Shas. Shafacha means you held the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand. If you hold it in the wrong hand, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham quotes this, that it's a chiddush in the Rabbeinu Chananel. Big chiddush in Rabbeinu Chananel. Then there's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and Ramo, machlekes in Rishonim. What if a person is a lefty? Does he still hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand? Or do you say, no, a righty holds the lulav in the right hand. The lefty should hold the lulav in the left hand. Like when you say kiddush. One is a lefty, holds the cup of wine in his left hand. So maybe over here. So that's a machlokes in the Chaver Rama. So usually you assume, what's a big deal? But yeah, but you yotzei anyway. So the Magen Avraham says, no, it is a big deal. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, if you hold in the wrong hand, you're not yotzei even with the Eved. So he says, even though we follow the Rama, that the lefty should hold, there are people in the world who are lefties. So the lefty should hold the lulav in the left hand and hold the esrog in the right hand, but afterwards they should switch hands and then shake again to satisfy the opinion of the mechaber, because according to Rabbeinu, the mechaber holds that the lefty holds the lulav in his right hand, not in his left hand, and according to Rabbeinu Hananel, the correct hand is leikuvim. So that's the chumra in the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, that if a guy's a lefty, he should shake lulav twice. Okay? A serious issue. The Gemara says in the first perek in Psochim and Daf Vavam Mebeis, Zainam Mebeis, Zainam Mebeis. The Gemara says, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam Mevarach Aleim Vavav Asiyas. Normally, a Birchas HaMitzvah is always recited immediately before one is about to do the mitzvah. That's why it says, Oiver Asiyas. Why doesn't it say Koidem? Koidem would mean, you can say the Baruch and now do the mitzvah 5 minutes later. Oiver means immediately before. That's how the Rishonim Amadaik. Oiver to the exclusion of Oiver the Oiver. Oiver the Oiver means too far in advance. That's not right. So the Gemara says there are a few exceptions to the rule where the Birchas HaMitzvah is decided L'achar Asiyasim. So one exception to the rule is Lulav. Lulav, because Mirag Bein Afik Bein, when you picked it up, you were Yotze ready. So it's always going to be L'achar Asiyasim. What are you going to say, the Bracha, before you pick up the Dalet Ninim? So that's Oiver the Oiver. So the Gemara says you got no choice. So the Bracha on the Lulav is always recited L'achar Asiyas. So Taisus and other Rishonim came along and they outsmarted the Gemara. So they said, no, hold the lulav upside down, or hold the esrog with the pitim upside down, and then say the bracha, and then turn it over. So it's not oiva di oiva because you're holding all the dalaminim, but it's still oiva lasiyasim because they're not yaitse till afterwards. Or other Rishonim said, pick up the dalaminim in the correct fashion and have in mind not to be yaitse. Kavana shalalot says, have in mind not to be yaitse until after you recite the bracha. So then it turned out that the bracha was recited oiva lasiyasim. So switching the pitim upside down, so some Rishonim say that's also over the yoyza. If I'm holding the dalaminim in a position that I'm not yoytze like this, and I say the bracha, and then you turn it upside down. So some argue with Tosafot, they say that's over the yoyza. And about having in mind kavana shalom, it's not all the Rishonim agree that works. If you hold mitzvahs, ain't zvichas kavana, so the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah quotes the opinion of the Ra'or, that you yotze, even with kavana shalolot, is you yotze. So the two suggestions that Tosis made are not muskam l'chol adeus. The Balamor writes, he doesn't understand, what did the Balai Tosis have to outsmart the Chachmei HaTalmud? The Tanoim and Amoraim say the Baruch Allah HaSas, and sure, good. We have to be more religious than the Tanoim and Amoraim. So the Balamor says, you do what it says in the Gemara, you lead a happy life. Just say the Baruch Allah HaRas Yosem in front. But the common practice is that people say the bracha over Asiyas. So I remember once, when I used to go to high school, so I used to run every day from my home to the bus, and I used to run to the yeshiva, so there's always a man hanging out the window. He always said good morning to me. I always thought he wasn't Jewish. He always said good morning. So I remember once on Sukkot, my father davened in shul, and I was going to daven the yeshiva, a chalamai. So I took my father's davening, and I was running to the bus to come to the yeshiva to daven. And this guy waves to me, I should come in, he wants the Ben Chesrik. I was surprised that he was Jewish. So I start to give him the Esrik, and I start to give him the Esrik upside down. He said, don't tell me, what do you mean, I know how to do it. So he holds the Esrik up, he holds the Esrik in his right hand, a little in the left hand. He was a Sephardi, put on a yarmulke for the occasion. He holds the Esrik in the right hand, the lulav in the left hand, and then he says the bracha, then he switches hands. That's based on, they follow the Rabbeinu Hanan of that. If you hold in the wrong hand, you're not Yetzir B'Yevet. Hafacha leyotzim means the wrong hand. The way they did Oibel Asiyasim was to hold it in the other hand. That's the same as Bayas. You hold the Esrog upside down. So they hold it in the wrong hand.
If we see that the Gemara had no issue
of
the
same Bracha
after your meal, so then what's the big issue in terms of when
you
stand in
Sukkah?
Why would you have to stand up and then say
they should? No, normally there is a requirement that you have to have Oibel Asiyasim. The Tanan just said, Dalin Minim is an exception to the rule because there's no way to solve it. So Tosis outsmarted the Gemara, they have a way to solve it. So the Baal Mor says, you don't have to. The Tanoim said that this is an exception to the rule. We allow you, we recommend you should say the Baruch Alachar Asiyosam rather than say Ayul Asiyosam. It's too complicated to do Ayul Asiyosam. On the second day, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, there's a big machlokes, two opinions in the Ritva, quoted by there's a Mishnah Brewer in the Bir Halacha, who quotes this whole tzinnis. There's a machlokes of Rishonim, whether all the dinim of the first day carry over to the second day, that you need shalachem on the first day, they need on the second day, and chaser pasels on the first day, but chaser pasel on the second day. According to the Rambam, hoder pasels all 7 days of Sukkot. According to the Mechaber, hoder doesn't pasel after the first day. So what about the second day? Do you have a sveka diyama? Of course you have sveka diyama. You have sveka diyama. We say halal on the second day, we say musaf, well, you say musaf machalamite also. But we give five aliyahs, you serve an isa malacha. There is a sveka diyama on Sukkot. You do observe sveka diyama. But the machlekes of Rishonim is, did the Rabbanim introduce the sveka diyama with respect to dalad minim or not? Why should I say not? What's the mocker to say not? So the Ritva explains why. Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai made a takana lulav nital b'mikdash, lulav nital kol shiva all over the world. That was after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Who introduced the observance of Sveka D'Yoma? That was in the days of Abai V'Rava, a few centuries later. In the days of Abai V'Rava, who lived in Bavel, when the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael established the Luach HaKavua, Hillel Sheni was the Nasi. He was a grandson of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. So when he established the Luach in Eretz Yisrael, So then there's no more Sveka D'Yoma, period. There shouldn't be any Sveka D'Yoma. So they sent a Shaila to the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, should we still observe, what should we do with the Yontav Sheni story? Everybody knows now when Yontav is. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Beit, Shalcha Mitam, they sent a letter, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael, Yizar b'minigav v'seich medechme, you should still observe Yontav Sheni. So it comes out that you have to shake a lulav the second day, even before, historically, a few centuries before that takana, of observance of Yantav Sheni, but we observe today Yantav Sheni, way before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai already made a takana, you have to shake the lulav all 7 days. So that's a machlekes of Rishonim. Does it make sense that they should institute a sveka diyoma for lulav to tell you have to shake lulav like this? Ben kama are you going to shake a lulav? You're going to shake a lulav b'toras takanas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So do you say no, but now you have to shake a lulav b'toras sveka diyoma of the first day, so that zana has to be shalachem, and chaser is going to pasel. Or do you say, no, you're shaking the lulav anyway. So they only introduce Sveka D'Yoma for Issa Malacha, and for saying Halel, and for Kriyas HaTorah, five aliyahs instead of four aliyahs. If it would have been Chalamoy, it would have been four aliyahs. Now that it's Yom Tov, you give five aliyahs. But to tell me that I have to shake lulav, B'Torah Sveka D'Yoma, I'm shaking a lulav anyway. B'Torah lulav Nitol B'Amikdash Kol Shiva. So that's a Machlokes HaRishonim. So people, Mishnah Berurah points out, people don't realize that it says explicitly in the Mechaber that yes, the Mechaber writes, Kol Psulei Rishon apply to Yantav Sheni also. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bikuri Yankiv, who quotes the Ritva. The Ritva has the two opinions. And he says, Ho'olam ein nisar mazeh. The Olam does not, the Balabatim don't realize. It's an offer to sif in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber writes like that. He takes a stand. Kol Psulei Rishon anoyegim yantav Sheni shel Golias. Even though Ben Kovako, you have to shake a lulav of Kol Shiva. But they did introduce the Sveka D'Yoma of the first day. The Gemara, the din is that for the first day and the first 2 days, you're only Yaitse if it's Shalachem. The Dalaminim have to belong to you. The Menchas Chinuch has a humorous kasha. He says there's a Rashi in Maseches Sukkah where Rashi says that in order to be called Shalachem, to be Yotzei Mitzvah, let's say Dalaminim need Shalachem, but there's one Tana says that Reb Lezer is of the opinion that you need Shalachem by Sukkah also. If the Sukkah doesn't belong to you, you can't. If you're visiting by someone else, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah Sukkah. Tosfos says they can't imagine what he means. A man is married to his wife and they have 9 children, so they have to sit in 11 different Sukkahs. Everyone has to have a separate sukkah that shalachem. How could that be? So he said, according to this Tana, what are you going to say? That the Zayin al Zayin, everyone has to sit in a different sukkah of Zayin al Zayin. That tzchach has to belong to me. My wife is sitting next to me. That tzchach has to belong to her. And each one of the children, the tzchach of Zayin al Zayin on top of the head has to belong to them. And they can't move over. Everyone is mamish in prison. You have to stay under your... Tosis has great difficulty. We don't pasken like that, Tana. We pasken, you don't need Shalachem on Sukkah. But how can Reb Lezer say such a thing? He learns it out from Dalamin. So Tosis says, maybe it's a dinner Teshem came to do. Since all year long the husband sits with his wife and all the children in one dining room, so maybe on Sukkah is also, that's called Shalachem. The whole family has. But it's very hard to imagine. Very hard. Anyway, so the Minchas Chinuch points out that Rashi says on that Gemara, according to that Tana, that you need Shalachem by Sukkah. So Rashi points out, if you need Shalachem, so Alpidin has to be at least a Shavu Prutah. If you own Tzchach that's worth less than a Shavu Prutah, it belongs to me. You can have ownership on Mammon that's less than a Shavu Prutah. Rav Soloveitchik used to prove that that's true. How do you know that there can be ownership on property that's less than a Shavu Prutah? Where does it say Beferish in the Gemara? So he was found, according to the Gemara, says, when you make a Kinyan Chalipin, Koinim Bekli, Afal Pishem B'Shavu Prutah. For Kinyan Chalipin purposes, the Kli is acceptable, even though it sells in this store for less than the Shavu Prutah. So he said, but if there's no ownership on a thing that's less than the Shavu Prutah, so how is it good for a Chalipin? So you see a Raya, you don't need any Rayas. You don't need any Rayas, so don't push it anyway. It's true without a Raya. It belongs to me without being a Shavu Prutah also. But Rashi says, if you have a mitzvah where the din requires it should be Shalachem, then I'll be din for the sake of the mitzvah. It has to have the kashir. Just like you need, the esrig has a minimum shear size, and the lulav has a minimum size, and adasim and arabis have a minimum size, becha for kiddush has to have a minimum size, and so on. The tkiyas and the truas and the shvarim, each one has to have a minimum length. So here also, there's a minimum shavius that the sukkah has to have if you need shalachem for a mitzvah. So Rashi says you need shavuot. So manaschina ches this humorous kasha. Arabis, 100 for a penny. Arabis are less than a Shavu Prutah. Just rip them off from the ground. So how are we yoytzei? If on the first day in each Shalachem, how are we yoytzei? So apparently the merchants are so concerned about the Menchas Chinas Kasha, so that's why they charge $1 on Arabis, $3 for an Arabis, to make sure that it's really Shalachem. But it should be Shavu Prutah. Yeah. So what's the answer to the Kasha? That's one answer. Charge $1. So it'll be worth more than a Shavu Prutah. But the Pashat, the real answer, Alpi Pashtus, is you don't need separate Shalachem on the Hadassim and separate Shalachem on the Arabis and separate Shalachem. The din is that the Dalaminim Ameyakvim Zezeh. So one Shalachem on all the Dalaminim is sufficient. So if everything altogether is worth a Shavu Prutah, so the whole thing is called Shalachem. You're not going to get an Esrig for less than a Shavu Prutah. So the Esrig, the Hadassim, the Arabis, and the Lulav altogether. If the whole thing altogether sells for a Shavu Prutah more, so the whole thing is considered a Shavu Prutah. Gemara says, let's say you want to give your children the Dalad Minim that they should be Yotzei. So the Gemara says you should only be Makna to the child after all of the adults were Yotzei. Because the child can be Koine, but he can't be Makna back. So if not all of the adults have fulfilled the mitzvah yet, so the child will have Shalachem. He'll be Koine, but he can't be Makna back to the adults later. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Machlokes Achronim regarding that Gemara. From the Gemara would appear that for the sake of Chinuch, you have to be Makna to the child. I'll give the child a Dalminim. I do not have in mind to be Makna to the child. Is that acceptable for Chinuch purposes? And you say that's a fraud. What kind of Chinuch? An adult isn't Yotzei if it's not Shalachem. So that's a false Chinuch. That's an improper chinuch. You need shalachem. So the Gemara said beferish on the first daf in the sukkah that b'tam chinuch, you cannot have little children sit in the sukkah if the sukkah is possible. So the Ritva says on that Gemara, and daf based on the base, you see from this Gemara that you can, in all the stores where they sell dalad minim, so they charge $100, whatever. If you want to buy a chinuch set for your children, so they give you the whole set for $5. What do you mean a chinuch set? Puzzle. A puzzle is set. So the Ritva says that for sure is not allowed. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Sukkah, that for the purpose of Chinuch, the Sukkah has to be kosher. So he says the Esrik has to be kosher also. So now the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Machlokes Achronim, do you also need that it should be Shalachem? If a pasul Esrik is no good for Chinuch, because you have to have everything should be Kedin v'Kalocha, so maybe you need Shalachem as well. So that's a Machlokes Achronim. Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva about that. What's exactly the Machlokes Achronim? So he explains, Machlokes is what's the nature of the mitzvah of Chinuch. He has a tshuva to Rabbi Elias. Rabbi Elias, for many years, used to be the principal of Breuer School. So this tshuva he wrote to him before he came to Breuer's, when he was in Detroit, I think. So he had a shayla, are you allowed to have mixed classes in a very young age? The children are so young, the boys have no Yetzer Hara for the girls. there is a certain age when they don't yet have a Yetzirah, even in America. In the very young kindergarten, they don't have a Yetzirah. So the shaila was, is it permissible to have mixed classes at a very young age? So Moshe Feinstein analyzes this machlekes sachreinim that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, and he said, that's the shaila. What's the nature of the din of chinuch? Is it that in a mitzvah sese, chinuch, is it we should be mechanech the child, he should be yotze the mitzvah, then you need shalachem? Or does it just mean we should train the child? We should get him, we should break him into the habit of performing the mitzvah. You don't have to see that he should be yotze the mitzvah. So if you give him a pasula, esrig, a pasula, lulav, that's for sure no good. But if you give him a kosher esrig, but it's not shalachem, so you're training him, but he's not being yotze anything. So he, Rav Moshe, wants to say that this should be relevant for chinuch for the averus. If you say the chinuch for mitzvahs is, you should see to it that the child does a mitzvah. So the chinuch averus, you should see to it that the child shouldn't do an avera. So if the child is in kindergarten, it has no yetzirah for any girls. The boys and the girls don't have any desire for each other then. So there's nothing wrong with having mixed classes. But if the idea behind the chinuch is, you should train the children at a young age to conform to what they're going to have to do when they're older, so even if it's not shalachem, the child is not being yotze anything now, it's still it's a din of chinuch, so then maybe we should insist on having separate classes even at a very young age. This is where Moshe has this opinion. Anyway, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes that shaila. Machlokes achronim, whether you need shalachem for the purpose of chinuch or not. So again, so the Gemara says, on Sukkot, you shouldn't give the dalet minim to a child before bar mitzvah until all of the adults have already been yotze the mitzvah, because the child is able to be kaina, but he cannot be makna back. So the shaila is, well, we paskin that you need shalachem on the second day yontif. So what does it help that we gave it to all the adults on the first day, then we give it to the child before bar mitzvah, but on the second day you need shalachem? So the child can't be makna back, so no one has shalachem for the second day. So the Shoyla Meshiv writes a Harifus, that's Mimon of Shachbid Rabbanon. On the second day Yontif, you don't have to shake Lulav min HaTorah. The whole din of Netilos Lulav is only with the Rabbanon. On the level of the Rabbanon, the child can't be marked in the Lulav back. It's only a problem on the first day. Because the first day, you need Shalachem min HaTorah, and a child cannot be makna back min HaTorah. A child can only be makna mid Rabbanon. So kinyan mid Rabbanon is no good for a din deraisa. But on the second day, the Yontif Sheni Shel Goli is only mid Rabbanon. So on the level of the Rabbanon, a child can be makna back. That's Rabbi Yosef Shol Natan's Mimonav Shol. That's what they call Mimonav Shach mid Rabbanon. Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay in one of his svarim. So you say Mimonav Shach mid Rabbanon. That's the title of the, as in the table of contents. And then he writes, if you don't know what that title means, read the essay and you'll understand it. And so others also wrote. Chel Kasyayev was a contemporary of Yosef Engel in the beginning of the 1900s, the first decade of the 1900s. He also has a Mar Mekoymus on this topic, Mamar Shabbat the Rabban. On the level of the Raisa, there's no problem. On the level of the Rabban, there's a problem, there's a solution. The solution the Rabban wouldn't have helped if it would have been a problem there. I said that maybe you should say the man of Shach the Rabban. So that's Rabbi Yosef Shaul. He says like that. The Mishnah says that the minimum length of the Hadassim and Arabis is 3 Tvachim, and the minimum length of the Lulav is 4 Tvachim. Why? 3 Tvachim corresponding to the Lulav, to the Hadassim and Arabis, plus an additional tefach kedela naneabo. So the assumption is that these shiurim, 3 tefach and 4 tefach, this is a real din deraisa. Shiurim ahalacha l'moshe misina. So that's how the Rishonim understood from that Mishnah that the nanuim is alachatchila deraisa. It's not miyakim b'diyeved. The Gemara says midaag be'nafik be'. We just pick up the dalad minim yotz even without ninuim. But alachatchila, the mitzvah b'shlamus requires that you should have ninuim as well. So what does it mean that the minimum size of the lulav is 4 tefachim and should have 3 tefachim corresponding to the hadas manarovas plus an extra tefach kedei lananebo? So we usually have hadas manarovas that are taller than 3 tefachim. We usually have 4 tefachim, sometimes more than 4 tefachim. So what if I have a lulav that's only 4.5 tefachim tall, and my hadas manarovas are 4.5 tefachim tall? So that's 3, and this is 4. Everything is okay. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Ran. In Sukkot, the Ran on the Rib says no. The Shedra Shalulav, not just the Lulav has a minimum length of 4 tefachim. However tall the hadasim and the haravis are, the lulav should go above the hadasim and the haravis another tefach. So if the hadasim and the haravis are 6 tefachim long, a lot of times you get 6 tefachim tall, so the lulav has to be 7 tefachim tall. Or you pull the hadasim and the haravis down lower. Let's say the hadasim and the haravis are only 3 tefachim tall, but you don't put it mamish on the bottom of the lulav. You put it a little higher and you tie it together. So it's a tefach above the bottom of the lulav to begin with. So the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Ran in Sukkah that however, whatever height the hadasim and the haravis reach on the lulav should exceed that, another tefach above. And then the Ran is further machmir. Not just the lulav should go higher, the shedra of the lulav should go higher. You reach a point when you look at the lulav where the shedra disappears. Towards the top couple of inches, there is no shedra. Shedra is the hard backbone. So the Ran is machmer based on Gemara's, the way he reads all the Gemara's. The shedra of the lulav should extend a tefach past the top of where the hadasim and haravis are. Very often people don't know that, so they don't have that. Which one do you have higher, the hadasim or the haravis? What's the difference? What do you mean, which one you have higher? So they quote Rashi. The Rashi is quoted in Sefer Pardes, a Sefer written by the Talmidim of Rashi. Rashi is quoted as saying that the hadasim, the top of the hadasim, have to be higher than the top of the haravis. Usually it's not like that. Usually the haravis are taller, and when you tie together the hadasim and the haravis with the lulav, so usually if you won't be careful about it, we just put it together, the haravis will always be taller than the hadasim. That's the way it always is. So you shouldn't do that. You should snip off the bottom of the haravis. Make sure you have your 3 tefachim. Snip off the bottom of the haravis and make sure that the hadasim are slightly above, a half an inch. The top of the hadasim should be slightly above the haravis. In case a person doesn't remember which is supposed to be higher than which, so they give you the siman of Shulchan Aruch that the hadasim are the shape of the eye and the haravis are the shape of the lips. So which is higher? The eyes are higher than the lips, so that's how you remember. So they quote in the name of Rashi, the Talmid Rashi quote in Sefer Pardes, the name of Rashi, that if you have the way 95% of the people have, the haravis are taller than the hadasim, you're not yotze even b'di'evet. So that's a chapela. How can you not be yotze b'di'evet? If even the Rambam Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, if you pick him up, b'zeh hazeh yotze. That's a machloikas, not all the Rishonim agree, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam's p'zach. If you pick him up, how can you say if you pick him up together, but the aravos are taller than the hadasim? How can you say you're not yotze b'di'evet? It's a pella. I think he means the leaves. I think so. The leaves are the aravos. Aravos taller than the wood, the stem. I think it means the leaves of the Arabi should not be higher up than the leaves of the Hadas. Why? Very strange. Maza is such a kpedi mriyevi din antiyotze. It's a pella. The Rashi doesn't, they don't quote any explanation. So there's a sefer on Hilchas Dalad Minim that was published 100 years ago, a knockout sefer. I think it has coming from Chaim Soloveitchik. But he quotes Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, he quotes the Osameach, he was friendly with everybody. The author's name was, he wrote a sefer called Mishmer Shalom. The Mishmer Shalom is a running commentary on the Prima Godem on Yerideh, Chelek Aleph. So in the Friya de Gedoris, 100 years ago, when people learned Yerideh and they learned the Prima Godem, so they would read the super commentary on the Mishmer Shalom on the Prima Godem. Now, even the people who learn Yerideh, hardly anybody ever looks in the Prima Godem. So what are they going to look in the Mishmer Shalom? Anybody, he was a Pesach Mefursim at that time. So he put out a sefer called, that's the sefer Mishmer Shalom on the Prima Godem. Then he put out a sefer Chaim of Roch on the Mishmer Shalom on Hilchas Avelos, and Chaim of Roch on the Mishmer Shalom on Hilchas Dalad Minim has all of the Hilchas Avelos is one sefer, Hilchas Dalad Minim the other sefer, everything arranged alphabetically. I'll be Aleph base. It's not 100% alphabetical, you know, I mean, all the letters Aleph are together. Within the letter Aleph, it's not 100% alphabetical. But you can't get lost there, you'll always find it. And he has every Rishon that existed, every Rishon, any Pesach, anything, with the Ar Sameach, that I heard from Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, I heard from the Marsham, he has everybody put in there. So there in that Sefer, Chaim Aruch, the Mishmashim, he has a lot of Ha'oris from the Marsham. He looked through the whole sefer and he added a lot of ha'aras. He has a ha'ara on this. Why should Rashi say such a wild idea that you're not yotze even by the eved? So al pi halacha, he has no way to explain it. Al derech hadrash, he says, maybe you can explain it. He says that the harovas represent the rishoyim, because ein balot tam baloy rech. The hadasim represent the tzaddikim, nevu and zacharia. Zacharia Novi has the most obscure nevuas. Rashi writes on Zacharia. So one of his prophecies, it says, there's a horse riding bein hahadasim. So Rashi on Zacharia writes, quotes a gemara, that hadasim means the tzaddikim. Esther's name is Hadassah because she was a tzaddikus. So that's what he suggests. Al derech hadrush. Maybe if you have that rav is taller than the hadassim, so it's a similar dav as if the rishoyim have a shlita over the tzaddik. He says more than that, he can't figure out why should it pass over the other.
Is this talking about necessarily taller, is higher and higher?
Yeah. When you tie it together, you should tie it in such a way that the hadassim should be. Yeah. Doesn't matter which is taller, just which one is higher than which. So just to make it easier, so you should snip off the bottom of the arabas. You're not going to snip it off, so it's going to be sticking down. So when you put your lulav down, it's going to fall down because the arabas are going to be sticking down on the bottom. Yeah, we have the practice, we tie together the lulav, the hadassim, and the arabas. That's a machloekes hatanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, with the lulav tzorachegit, the lulav and tzorachegit. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that lulav tzorachegit ikuvim. And if you don't tie it together, it's not tied together, it's simply not yotze the mitzvah. We pass in la'alocha like the chachamim, that the lulav ain't a tzarech eged, but nonetheless, l'chatchila, the Gemara says, mishum zekele ve'anveyu, the proper thing is that you should have an eged. So what does it mean, mishum zekele ve'anveyu, that it should just look pretty? So Rashi shows from the Gemara, no, l'chatchila, lulav tzarech eged, should be a kesher agabi kesher, just like according to Reb Yudah. That's to be a real kesher, al pidin, a kesher. It happens, Reb Yudah's shita happens to be that aniva has a din of a kesher also, both for Hilcha Shabbos, for the malacha of kosher, as well as for kesher shel tefillin. The Gemara says if you hold that aniva, a bow has the status of a kesher for malacha Shabbos, that aniva would be good for tefillin shel rosh. We happen to paskin that aniva is not a kesher. You need davka kesher al gabi kesher. So for the tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh, you need a kesher. Has to be a kesher al gabi kesher. So this, the way we paskin la halacha that lachatchila lulav tzarech eged, we paskin that aniva is not a kesher. So you should really do a kesher al gabi kesher. So it's very hard to do a kesher al gabi kesher, because usually we tie up the lulav of the hadassim and the arabis with a strip from the lulav. We're going to try to make a kesher al gabi kesher. Many times it'll rip. The whole thing will rip. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from a sefer, Agura b'Halecha, I think. He only quotes him here in Hilchas Dalamini. How did the Mishnah Berurah know which exotic achronim to look in? So he tells you in this introduction, he says, he always looks in the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Machzal Shekel, everybody on the page he's going to use. Which Achrayim not on the page did he? When did he decide to quote a Chasam Sofer, and when did he decide not to quote a Chasam Sofer? A lot of times he'll ignore a Chasam Sofer. So he tells you in the introduction, he says, he didn't do the research, there was a Sofer called Pischei Tshuva. On Yeridei and Eben Ezra and Chosh Mishma, the Pischei Tshuva is printed on the bottom of the page. And on Rechaim, we have the Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva was written before the Chasam Sofer was born. So you can't quote any Chasam Sofer. The Pischei Tshuva always quotes the Chasam Sofer. But the Shari Tshuva was written by Rabbi Frank Zalman Ragolis with his brother. So he doesn't have all the later Achrayim. He has a lot of Gematriyos and Rashi Tevis and Berklach and all kinds of things. So one of the Dayanim in Vilna published a little sefer, a thin little sefer called Pischei Tshuva. It used to sell for $1. Now probably sells for $20. That's a skinny little sefer, a little pamphlet. So he quotes on every sefer in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes some achrayim. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, whatever is not Daladaf, he's only going to quote what says in the Pischei Tshuva. Once in a while he doesn't even tell you what it says, he just writes, I'm Pischei Tshuva. So people think it must be a misprint. There is no Pischei Tshuva in Arachai. There is a Pischei Tshuva. You just got to take it out of the library. So here, the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Agura Ba'alecha on Hilchas Dalanin. So in this, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from this sefer that this container that they sell you that's woven from lulav strips, that has the status of a kesher al gabi kesher. So when you put your arovis and hadasim and the lulav into that, that's already a kesha b'kesha. The only thing is, if you're not going to tie it up, it's going to fall through. Everything will fall through because you didn't tie it up. But basically, you're ready yotzei the kesha b'kesha the way it is with that. The Gemara talks about tasa b'leimen ha'asui on the kesha. You see, you buy a keshikol, you buy this thing that's all woven in and out. But the kesha is already there before you put in, before the lulav was even planted. Before you got the hadasim and the aravas and the lulav. And after you have the kesha, then you put the lulav in the middle, the hadasim over here, and the aravas over there. So that's an issue of tasa v'lai min asa. So what's taka the din of tasa v'lai min asa by dalad minim by the kesha? So the Gemara on daf yud aleph in Sukkah says according to the chachamim, hold lulav ain't a tzorach eged, there's no problem. You don't even need an eged at all. Likubis. How can you say that tasa v'lai min asa tasa? According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds lulav tzorach eged. So it's possible to insist that Tasav Lemin also with Pasav. Yeah, so we don't pass them like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass them like the Chachamim, Lulav and Tzarech Eged. So Tasav Lemin also shouldn't pose a problem. So it's not a problem. So that's why the Marsham writes in the Heoris, in this Sefer, Chaim Ravach L'Mishmer Shalom alphabetically arranged. So Tasav Lemin also is on the Tuf. So that's on the last page in the Sefer. Tasav Lemin also is on the last page. So the Gemara talks about Tasav Lamin Asa by Schach, and then the Gemara talks about Tasav Lamin Asa by the Eged. So he quotes, so the Chaim Aruch and the Mishmar Sham quotes from the Marsham that since we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, we pass Lulavain, it's our Eged, so even though Lachatchili we do an Eged, but it's Mavur in the Gemara that Tasav Lamin Asa is not a problem in the Fi Halacha. That since he could have dispensed with the whole Eged, so he can't say it's possible. So Rav Soloveitchik had a Chumra, he thought not so. He thought that if you want to fulfill the lechatchila of zekei levian veis, you have to have a kesher gabi kesher. So lechatchila should see to it that it shouldn't be tasav lo ma'asei. So that makes life impossible. So when you tied up the lulav, the hadasim and the arovis, and then let's say you want to separate them, so you take out the lulav, you put it away, and you wrap up your hadasim and the arovis, and you put them in the refrigerator. The lulav you don't put in the refrigerator, hadasim and the arovis you wrap up, you put in the refrigerator. Then the next day you can't just slip the lulav back in. You have to untie the knot and tie it all over again. The second day yontav, you can't tie a knot. You can't tie a knot. So you have to leave the whole hadasim and aravis with the lulav the way it is. If you're going to take out the lulav and put it back in, it's going to be an issue of tasav and asa. So you won't be yotzei lachatchila the hider of having eged. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. And the Marsham says that the simple reading of the Gemara is not so. That once you pass like the chachamim, they're abuted. The lulav tzarech eged. There isn't really a problem.
You mean like Beis
Hillel
just put out like a
little bit and
just
put
it back in?
To do what?
Just like
Beis Hillel
said, by
the snap
and just a little bit,
like
a little bit.
Just a little bit.
You have to take out
a
little bit.
Here, just like
take out a little bit.
Like, what do you mean? But you take out the whole lulav. When you put the hadas on the rest of the refrigerator, you take out the whole lulav, you leave it in one place. And then the next morning, when you put it back in, so that's always going to be tasav. So you have to untie the whole knot. The way we use this container. So the Mishnah Berurah calls the Berurah Ba'alecha. That container is the kesher. So it's always tasav lemon asa. The container is manufactured before you get the dalad minim. It's always tasav lemon asa. It's usually assumed that it doesn't pose a problem. We mentioned the Gemara says that you should hold the lulav in the right hand and the yesim in the left hand because this is three quarters of the mitzvah. That's one quarter of the mitzvah. The guy's a lefty, the machlekes, the mechab, and the ramah. So the shot is, what if he wants to hold the lulav and the yesim in the same hand? Does that pose a problem? Let's say when he's saying halal. So he holds the lulav and the esrog in the right hand, he holds the siddur in the left hand. Or when you're going with hakofas, with hoshainas, around the shulchan. So most people hold the lulav and the esrog together in the right hand, they hold the siddur in the left hand. So the Beis Yosef quotes an opinion in the Rishonim that's also no good. You have to bedafke hold the lulav and the esrog in two different hands. You shouldn't hold them in the same hand. That's a chiddush. So some were machmer for that. Remember, Rabbi Gerelik told us that when he learned by Rav Elvela in Brisk, so there was only one lulav and esrog for the whole city. They didn't have everybody. It wasn't possible. So the only one who held the lulav and the esrog was the chazan. So Rav Elvela Soloveitchik had one of the balabatim walk in front of the chazan with a siddur like this. And the balabas would walk backwards in front of the chazan. So the chazan would be able to hold the lulav and the esrog in both hands. He wouldn't have to hold them both in the same hand. So everyone get yourself a slave to hold your siddur for you. It's not easy. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that some had a dikduk, a midas chasidus, to bench esrog in the sukkah. So he doesn't exactly understand what that means. So if you go to, I remember once I was in Baba the sukkah. So they finished davening shacharis at doomsday on sukkah, probably 11:30 or something. And then before Hallel, there was a pause of 2-3 hours. The Rebbe went to the sukkah to bench esrog on his esrog right before Hallel, and then all the chassidim had to be yotze with the Rebbe's esrog. So the Rebbe stood there. The Hasidim was standing on line for hours and hours and hours, and he was giving everybody his dalad minim, matanam and aslach, and they gave it back. Each guy had his own little bit of esrog, but they all wanted the yotze and nitzah on the Rebbe's. The Rebbe's esrog is holy. So that everybody went to the sukkah. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't understand what is the hidah to bench esrog in the sukkah. He thinks what it probably means is the following. Mistama, they slept in the sukkah. So the first thing in the morning when you wake up, at the crack of dawn, you wash negel vasna and you bench esrog right away. Why should you wait till 12 o'clock? Says Riz Magdim Alamitzi, bench esrog right away. That's how they tell the story about Rabbi Yitzchak Berditcheva. He woke up in the morning and he had his esrog in behind the wooden, behind the glass door in the furniture. The what do you call it? The credenza place, whatever you call it. Then it's in his living room, in his cabinet. And he was so excited about benching esrog, he put his hand through the glass. Riz Magdim Alamitzi. He ran. He forgot that there was a glass there. So the Mishnah Berurah said, that's probably what it means. The first thing in the morning, a guy sleeping in the sukkah, he wakes up, he washes until he dies, and he benches esrog, but not at 12:30 in the afternoon. He goes to the sukkah in order to bench esrog. He doesn't see why that should be connected. Usually the Hasidim assume that you do like that, that you go to the sukkah. The Hasidim are sleeping at home. They're not sleeping in the sukkah. And then they go to the sukkah to bench esrog. So Mazeh, what is the... So they usually say that it's the sukkah is supposed to represent golus. And the esrog is supposed to represent when the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, we have a farm, and the esrog am I growing? All the pears are growing. The dalmina represent all the pears that are growing in Eretz Yisrael. So we want to demonstrate that we are mechaber together all of Jewish history. There are those who say in Eretz Yisrael we should stop learning Talmud Bavli because it was written in Chutz Lortz. Anything that comes from Chutz Lortz stinks. No good. We should ignore. That was a black part of Jewish history. We should ignore everything that was developed in Chutz Lortz. We should only concentrate the Totzeret Haaretz. Everything in Eretz Yisrael. I remember once one of the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael told me he loves this Arab more than he loves me because the Arab is Totzeret Haaretz and I'm from Chutz Lortz. I'm no good. Okay. My elephant. He's a good, had a good sense of humor. My elephant. He's a big Talmud Chacham, had a good sense of humor. I think he was joking. I'm not sure. So we want to. So that's what the Hasidim do. They shape the esrog in the sukkah to demonstrate that all of Jewish history was min hashamayim, not just when we were living in Eretz Yisrael during the good times. When we were living chutz lortz in the bad times, it's also min hashamayim, and everything is one big hemshach.
And also, I saw that. I did see the. I mean, that was a Shmuel one day, and I saw that he definitely having. He
went to the sukkah right before the halal.
Yeah, and then he went
okay.
And then everybody
so that is the practice. By the Hasidim, they'll bench esrog taka in the morning when they wake up the first thing in the morning. Some of them wake up late. But many of them, unless they want to bench on the Rebbe's esrog, it's a different story. And a lot of the misnagdim insist on dafke benching esrog right before halal. Why? Because there's a question, what is the status of the Nanuim in the middle of Hallel? The Nanuim in the middle of Hallel enhances the Kiyam of Hallel? Oziranu Kalatze Yar. We demonstrate as if the Lulavim are bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Lulavim are also saying Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only the human beings, Oziranu Kalatze Yar, or should we assume no? That not only is it a heder in the Hallel, it's a heder in the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. So some Rishonim, Tosis seems told that it's only a kiyum and Hallel. The Nanuim Hallel is also around the Kalatzia. The Rambam sounds like he holds that the Nanuim Hallel is a heder in the mitzvah of Lulav. So the shaila is like this: if I say the bracha on a tilos lulav when I wake up, and then I put it down and I get dressed and I go to shul, then I pick up the lulav nesug later, there's some argue that's not a hemshach. Kozman is still holding the dalaminim, so it's a hemshach of the original netila. So if I'll say halal and do the nanuim in the middle of halal, when I did that original netilas lulav, so then you'll satisfy the Rambam's opinion that the nanuim and halal are a hemshach of the original netilas lulav. But if you bench that in the morning, put it down, and then you pick it up, you go to shul, then you pick it up later. So then some argue, this point is not 100% bukhar, some argue that then the nanuim in the middle of halal is not a hemshach from the netilas lulav. So you should say miragbe nafikbe, so the nanuim that you do in halal would not constitute a hidur in the midst of lulav. So that's what that chumra is based on. How do you know exactly what an esrig is? The pasuk says priyei todah. So the Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah, so there are different parts of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So he says one part is Pirushim HaMekubalim LaMoshe Misinai. We have certain phrases in Chumash that are unclear. We have a tradition as to what the Pirush HaMilus is. So that tradition is not debatable. So he says, gives an example, Ayin Tachasayin. It doesn't, not to be taken literally. It's not that the Chachamim figured it out through the Midrash HaTorah and the Dvar Shesban. They had an oral tradition. The Rambam says that's how they saw every Bezdin saw in the earlier Bezdin until the days of the Bezdin of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody knew that Ayin Tachasai means moment. And it gives the example also, Priyei Tzodah. Priyei Tzodah means an Esrog. The Mogen Avraham quotes the Levush that an Esrog that's Murkov is Pasul. The official reason that the Levush gives is a little unusual. He says the reason why it's possible because a mitzvah baba avera, because it's an avera to do the harkova. Right, but the Jews are not doing it, the non-Jews are doing all this. So he says we pass from like that opinion in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Machlok Satanaim. He says we pass from like the opinion that b'nei noyach amuzer on harkovas ilonis. Even though we usually say that there are only seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach, there are seven mitzvahs that he's chayiv misa for. If he violates, but there are a couple of additional, another five or six mitzvahs, that if he violates it, there's no enish misa. So the Rambam indeed paskins like that, that the nochem mamuzah not to do harkovas ilonis. So that's the official reason that the Levush gave. Beis Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim's Alma Margolius, has a tshuva and he doesn't agree. He says, what kind of mitzvah baba there? That's not the reason. So we usually assume the real reason why Eser Gamurkav is not good is because it's the wrong mitzvah. We have a tradition that has to be davke this. There was a great Sfardi Mekubal who lived in Eretz Yisrael years ago. Must have died in the 1930s, 1940s, I don't know. He was known as the Sava Kadisha because he lived to a very old age. Alafendri, what was his name? Aliezer Alafendri, I forgot his first name. He's known as the Sava Kadisha. He's known for Kabbalah, but he has Chubas and Halacha also. So he has a wild notion that Benatura, a lemon is also good. It's only a Chuma. And a worker could be even good Madraban. He has some irregular opinions over here. The Chazanish writes, he doesn't think there's an Issa Hakovas Ilanis to mix a lemon tree with an esrog tree. He thinks that for the purpose of Klayim, it's all min echod. He thinks maybe all citrus fruits are min echod with respect to Klayim, but he says he's still not yet in the mitzvah of esrog. Because it has to be dafke a certain strain within the citrus tree. Anyway, bottom line, that's what we assume. An Esrog Amurka, we assume, is no good here, it's no good Benatar, no good Nirabban, for one reason or another. We're not sure what the reason is, but we know for sure that it's no good. Okay. Traditionally, the Shari Tshuva, next to the Behetav in the Mishnah Brewer, Shari Tshuva quotes from the Rabbi Yankif Emden, from the Poskim, from the 1700s, they were very concerned about Hadassim Murkovim, that they used to do Harkovim and Hadassim. If it's a Murkov, then it's the wrong mint. You have to make sure that the hadassim are not murkav. Yeah, how many do they have to have? So we usually assume you need one esrig, one lulav, three hadassim, and two arovas. In the Mishnah, it's a machlokes satanoim. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah, k'shem shelulav echad v'esrig echad, kach ores echad v'arova achas. Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that the Ramban HaChumash talks about the Kabbalah, why it adds up to seven, connected to seven spheres. You have three hadassim and two arovas is five, and one lulav, one esrog is another two is seven. So somehow it corresponds to the seven spheres of Rav Soloveitchik. He said jokingly, but Rav Akiva, according to the Mekubal, was supposed to be the big Mekubal, and he says it's only four. It's not seven. Okay. So the shot is, how do we paskin? Do we paskin bottom line that one? A rabbis, we really hold that you need to, because it says arvei nachal in the plural. So we don't paskin like Rav Akiva. Hadassim is a problem. Where did you come off to say that you need three? It says anaf eight sabas. It says one olive. So Rav Tarfon backed out. The Mishnah records Rav Tarfon first said one way, then he changed his mind. So at one time he said you need three hadassim because there are three words. Anaf eight sabas. You add up the three words. Like, how do you establish how many zrikas you need by korban chatos? The Gemara says you add up how many times does it say karnas, karnas, karnos? How many defanas do you need for a sukkah? You add up how many times the word appears in Chumash, sukkah, basukas, basukas, basukas. Or one Tana is of the opinion, how do you know that there are lamates of his malachas? Because the word malacha, malachto, malachas appears from the beginning of Bereshis. Chalo kemishu in malachto asher asa. You add up how many times the word malach appears from the beginning of Bereshis till the end of Le'eni Kol Yisrael. So it appears 39 times. That's just, parenthetically, it appears more than 39 times. So the Tosis Yontif raises the issue, and there are different opinions in the Rishonim. How do you calculate the 39? Because it's more than 39. Mendel Kasha published, and others also published essays about this. How did you decide which malachas you are counting, which malachas you're not counting? So Rav Tarfon at one time felt that you need three hadassim because the word appears anaf eight sabas three words, and then he changed his mind. He said one hadas is also good. So that's a shaila mishnah brura. Let's say you have only one hadas that's kosher. You have one hadas. The hadas may have to be mishaloshim. The three leaves have to grow all together. So what if you only have one hadas that's mishulosh? Can you say a bracha or not? So the mishnah brura says that's in sveka d'dina how we pass. So bottom line, one lulav, even though it says kapos tamarim. So the Gemara says, because in Sefer Torah is written chaser, if it would have been written malay, kapos tamarim, so it would have said you need at least two lulavim. But the Gemara says it's a kriya ksiv. It's written kapas, and the kriya is kapos. So we say you only need one lulav, one esrig, two arabis, we pass not by the other. And hadassim is a shailin din, whether we pass, can you really need three? Or one is also good. So Mishnah Berurah says, if you only have one, that's kosher. So you take it b'li bracha.
Did we assume that Anaf Eitzavos is just a smasta ba'am that count three words, just like we would assume by malacha, malacha, malacha? Or do we assume that's the drasha?
I think the malacha, malacha, malacha is a drasha gemura. That's a real drasha.
Yeah,
gematrias are par peroes lachochma. One Tana says in the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, how do you establish that there are lamatas malacha? One Tana says, Eila hadvarim. So he says, Dvarim is mir grab mishnai, Dvarim. Hadvarim, the idea makes it into three. And then Eila, the gematria, is 36, so 36 and 3 is 39. Dvarim hadvarim, Eila hadvarim is a gematria. So the Pnei Yeshua says, and that gemara in Masechah Shabbos, but that's only an asmach. Because the Mishnah says in the end of the first paragraph in the Chagigah, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that gematria is addressed by Peros Lachal. Means it's not from the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Ben. But counting up how many times the word appears, that is from the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Ben. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet gives you a series of drushes based on how many times the word appears in the Chumash.
But Anaf Eitzavos is different words.
Yeah. It is unusual. There is one Tana in the Gemara. Rashi interprets on the Gemara in Lulav HaGozel that l'chatchila d'arava should grow by a river. Arvei Nachal. Nachal means a river. But the Yevit, if it doesn't grow by a river, it's also good. So we're still waiting for someone to make someone can make a racket out of this. So Aravas Mehudorim, that it grew by a river, they charge instead of $5 one arava, charge $25 one arava. No one caught on yet. That there's such a lachatchila, according to Rashi, such a lachatchila should be arvei nachal. The post can point out that the stem of the arava should not be green, it should be reddish. And the Gemara says if the aravas have a jagged edge like a saw, then it's no good. Kemasor. Masor is a saw. If the jagged edge, dolan is a saw, has jagged edge sticking out. So the Gemara says if it's jagged edged, but all of the points are pointing in a tilted direction, so that is good. So that's known as Misnagdus Sha'arovis as opposed to Hasidus Sha'arovis. Hasidus Sha'arovis are smooth on the edge, like the shape of a lip, thin, long, thin, and smooth on either edge. And the Misnagdim Amekel, that it doesn't have to be smooth on the edge, because the Gemara says it's good even if it's jagged edge, as long as it's not like a saw, as long as all the edges are, that's where they always are. They're always leaning in one direction. Hadas, you have to make sure that it's Mishuloshim. It's not Mishuloshim, and it says in the Gemara that you're not Yotzeh. Then also, the Achranim pointed out, based on a Bahag and Hilchas Treifes, that the Hadasim, the leaf of the Hadas, shouldn't be too big. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to go buying Dalmanim with my father. I never remember such big Hadasim like they have now. They have gigantic leaves. So the Dinis shouldn't, that's the Machma, shouldn't be bigger than a thumbnail. Because in Hilchas Treifes, they talk about the size of a certain organ. Is it a treif or not? So they say, if it's the size of a thumbnail, which is equivalent to the leaf of a hadas, then it's a trefa. So you see that the leaf of a hadas is not supposed to exceed the size of a thumb of a nail. The Mishnah says, the Gemara says, that an esrik hamavushal is no good. I'm sure gonna text an esrik and he cooks it. So mavushal is no good, but kovish kemavushal. So if he soaks the esrog in water, is also not good. What if he soaks the lulav and the hadasim and the arabis in water? Kavish chav talad shos. Kavish meislay is 24 hours. So people do it all the time. Chassidim, not chassidim also. When you take the lulav, when you finish davening musaf, you come home, so you take the lulav, hadasim, and the arabis. A lot of people have a big container full of water, and they take the lulav with the hadasim and the arabis, and they put it on the bottom. So if you're going to daven tomorrow morning, if tomorrow morning is a weekday, you're going to bench esrog. So you put in the lulav and the hadas. You put in the lulav, the hadasim and the aravis at the 10 o'clock. Then you're going to take it out at 7 o'clock. But over Shabbos, you don't take it out. So over Shabbos is going to sit there in the water for more than 24 hours. So on Sunday morning, the bottom part of the lulav and the hadasim and the aravis is a shail of kavish kemivushal. So if you'll say that part is puzzle, so will you still have enough? Is the lulav still tall enough? The hadasim and the aravis, are they still tall enough? Because you have to consider it as if you cut off the bottom parts. You may no longer have the shear or gimel tvachim. So this is a pilpul. So this pilpul is discussed. The Stechemed has always fascinating things. Stechemed quotes the whole discussion. And then he quotes the Pischei Tshuva in Yerideya. Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Basa B'Cholov, quotes the poskim and say that it's not a problem. That kavish kemivushal is only on food. You don't say on a piece of wood, kavish kemivushal. A lulav is a piece of wood. There's no concept of kavish kemivushal, not on lulav, not on hadasim, and not on arum. So that's what's usually assumed. But it doesn't pose a problem. It's important when you buy an esrog that it shouldn't be round like a ball. Morris says round like a ball is no good. It has to have a little bit funny looking shape. That's called kemigdal. It should look like a tower. It should be taller than it is. It should be thin. It shouldn't be overweight. In America, everybody's overweight, but the esrog shouldn't be overweight. It should be a skinny esrog. It should be kemigdal. Yeah. It shouldn't be kikadur. Then you have to make sure that the esrog has the right color. The Mishnah says that esrog yorek kikarsi is no good. If it's green like grass, green is no good. So then chassidim amahada dafka to get green esrogim because of the Zohar. The Zohar says the esrog is supposed to be yorek. Yankel Kalina has a tshuva. The Mishkan is Yankel. He says they misread the Zohar. The word yorek means brown and yellow. Yorek kikarsi is green. The Zohar never said that the esrog should be yorek kikarsi. Says that it should be yorek. Esrog is always yellow and brown. So it's not really right. You shouldn't use a green esrog. That's why we mentioned an esrog chaser is sometimes possible. The first day, esrog chaser is possible. So a lot of times the esrog gets nicked while it's growing on the tree. It bumps into another branch and it cuts into the skin of the esrog. So the Rambam says that what often happens is the esrog continues to grow after it was nicked into, and it grows over that. So even though you can see that something was cut out, but if it grew over it, so that's not a problem of chosin. Shinui Mara is a problem. Shinui Mara is a problem. The Sefer Chaim Avraham Mishmer Shalom, he quotes the classical pasuk and says Shinui Mara is only a problem if the esrog rotted and it changed colors because it was spoiled. But if it has a little bit funny color, so that's not called the Shinui Mara. So usually the esrog is not a problem. The lulav has to be straight. If it's bent over, so it's an issue in the Gemara whether it's kosher or not. So Gemara says it depends which direction it's bent over. So if it's, you have on one side of the lulav, you have the shedra. So if it's bent over towards the shedra is bent over, that's good. That's where they always grow. But if it's bent over the other direction, the shedra is on top and it's bent over that direction, or it's bent over to the right or to the left, significantly bent. So then the Gemara says that it's possible. A lulav akofif is possible. The Gemara has the chumer that nech leko hatiyomes. Apostles. What does it mean? Echlekat Yomes? So Tosis has two pshatim. One pshat is that every leaf of the lulav is a tiyomes, is a twin. Every leaf really has two leaves that are attached. So if every single leaf of the lulav is broken, is split, or the ruba kukula, rove of the leaves of the lulav are split, so that's called Echlekat Yomes in this pasuk. Then Tosis has another pshat, Echlekat Yomes, the top one or two or three leaves, that when you come to the tippy top of the lulav, these are the tallest of all of them. So if any one of those is nechlekat yomes, that's going to be possible. So Tosis writes in the end of Bava Kama, wow, that's a chumra. You won't find echad mina elef. You won't find one out of 1,000 lulavim that's not going to be split on top. So that's usually what people are medactic about. There shouldn't be nechlekat yomes. When are you going to have nechlekat yomes? Rove of the alim of the lulav are going to be split. I never saw such a lulav. They wouldn't even bring that to the store. No one's interested in that. Like, I once in my life I saw an esrog with the chazozes. They don't even send it to the store. Who's going to buy an esrog with the chazozes? So they once sent one to the store just to show it to the customers what it is. No one had a minute they're going to buy. Chazozes, it's a white thing, white fuzzy thing that's growing on top of the skin of the esrog. Chazaz is pasul sometimes in the esrog. Anyway, so nechlekat yomes, people are machmer, even if one of the tippy tops of the alim is split. So the Mishnah Berurah says if it's split less than a tefach, you can ignore that. You don't have to worry so much about that. Some of the Achrayim came up with the whole chumrah that if the cotton, if I give the lulav to the cotton and he gives it back on the first day, it's no good because the cotton can only be makna midirabbanon. So for the second day, that the whole dinim shalachem is only needed midirabbanon, so the kinyan that the cotton is makna to me solves the problem. Kinyan derabbanon is good to solve a problem derabbanon. But on the first day, when you need shalachem deraisa, so the cotton's ability to be makna is only derabbanon, so that wouldn't be good enough. That's machlek zavishainim, that's what we're machma for there. So some achrayim came up with the chumrah that vartaira mois kainis amitalkula. Mashiach is only kainim midirabbanan. So if I didn't pay the merchant, if I bought dalin minim and I didn't pay for it, that was only kainim with mashiach. It's only shalachem midirabbanan. So it would only be good for the second day yontif. Wouldn't be good on the first day yontif because you need shalachem deraisa. So you have to make a kinyan deraisa. The pashtus is that it's not correct because kinyan chotze is a kinyan deraisa. What do you mean? I bought it in the store. And I only made a hakbor. I never took it into my house. I didn't take it into my car. Of course, take it in your car. You can't with the kinyan chotzer. Take it to your home. You can't with the kinyan chotzer also. So the pashtun says that chumra is really not always gehal. Okay, what more is there to know about the dalet minim? In Ashmashes, the first day Yontif, if a person didn't shake lulav and esrog all day long, it's already after the shkia, the first half hour with Ben Ashmashes. So So it says Shulchan Aruch, Sveika Deraisa L'chumer, Misafik has to shake the lulav, but he shouldn't say a bracha. But it's the rest of the days of Sukkot when the Netilas lulav was only the Rabbanim, and all day long he didn't have a chance to shake the lulav, so then he would be Pata Ben Ashmashin, Sveika Derabbanim L'kul. He wouldn't be Mechiv to shake Ben Ashmashin. It's a run. The run has a whole shtick of Torah based on that. He interprets a Gemara. So that's quote. That run is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch.
Yes. The din of kavush kumgushal is when it's totally submerged in water, or even if it's wrapped in the wet paper cloth or whatever, wet towel.
No, it has to be water. Not just a moist towel is not a cup. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, or he said, I forgot already, but it's in his friend. He said, well, he lived in Lupan under the communists. So he said they couldn't get an esrog every year. So one year they got an esrog, and they had to preserve it from year to year to year to year. How can you preserve an esrog? So he wrapped it. He put the esrog in a container of honey. So the honey preserved it from year to year. So that's on the assumption that you don't apply kavish kemavushal to honey. So that's a discussion that Akhi Tshuva talks about. You only say kavish kemavushal if it's very liquidy. So there are different kinds of honey. Some honeys are very thick, and some honeys pour like water. So you had a very thick honey, so that's not kavish kemavushal. If you would have had a thin, what's the word? Viscous, how viscous is it? Remember when I took chemistry, so I had Professor Soloveitchik. So he couldn't pronounce English words so easily. So he used to call it viscosity. What's the correct pronunciation? I don't know. Chai v'analom v'loshen rabbis, I say viscosity. What's the viscosity there? Okay.
But the end of the prophets on the first day, banish mushrooms. That's not the Bracha Salula. What about Shekhyan? Do you make the Shekhyan?
No, he wouldn't say it's a suffix if he's eating Yotze the lulav, so he wouldn't say Shekhyan. No, you leave it, you just do the Netilas lulav, and you wouldn't say any brachas. Okay, I want to wish everybody Gmar Tzim HaToyva and Agut Niyantiv. Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Make sure it's kosher too. Okay.
Is there any kitchen having